Chapter 7 is dealing with recent developments in missions. There's some things that have happened in recent years in mission work that have been a help to mission work. So each age group in the local church needs to be informed and challenged to become involved in the missions program of the local church. And some churches, what they have done, and I know you've done it here at Heritage as well, you have taken mission trips. And a mission trip helps people to see things from a little different perspective than if they just talk about it and see some pictures at home. If you actually go to a place and you see it in operation, really what you're seeing is what you see, what you should be seeing as if you're an active Christian, what you should be seeing is happening in the local ministry of your church too. Okay? It's just in a different location. Many of the same things that you do here at Heritage are the very same things that they do in Vietnam and the Philippines and Indonesia and Japan or wherever the mission work is going on. And all of the people in the church, all the Christians in the church, need to be, you know, actively involved in it. And it's important to have teaching and preaching on missions and an annual missions conference, practical Christian service training, and continual stress of prayer and financial support for the church's missions program. You see, all of these things have to go on. But along with a lot of these things, local church involvement of church members. And this is something that has been more recent. The world in these recent days has gotten smaller. And one of the things that makes this possible is the air transportation and the communication. It's so much easier to communicate with missionaries today. I mean, when we first went to the mission field, we'd write a prayer letter. We would send a prayer letter to my mother, and my mother had some key people in the church that helped her get the prayer letter run off, and then they would put it in envelopes, and they would mail it out to all the people that were helping us and praying for us. Okay? And if we wrote a letter to somebody, and we weren't that terribly far away from home, but if we did write a letter, it could be 2 to 3 weeks before we got a response to our letter. But today, that's instantaneous. Today, we were talking, video chatting with my daughter on the smartphone because of the internet, you see. I think every believer in the church should try to be in contact, if it's possible, with their missionaries. And with the technology that we have available today, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we don't take a little time and do it. You understand what I'm trying to say? We can be a great encouragement to the people that are representing us in all these different countries. Because we, how's it going? Now, you may not want to do the video because, you know, sometimes we think we don't look good. And, hey, there's nothing I can do about my looks. Not a thing. I stand in front of the mirror. I comb my hair. I even brush my hair. And 15 minutes later, my wife, we're ready to go out the door. My wife says, "Your hair needs to be combed." I said, "I combed it and I brushed it." So I turn around and I say, "Go ahead and fix it." You know, because I can't see back here. Okay? Unless you get a mirror and you do all the, you know, gymnastics. And I don't do that. Okay? But what I'm trying to say is, we need to communicate. And not only that, it's a great encouragement if we can go and even help for a short time on a mission field. And I know that the church has a mission trip planned in the fall. And if you're able to go, you ought to go. You could be an encouragement to the missionary, but also it might help you to get a little different perspective on what's going on. And that might help you do something for the Lord that otherwise you may not do. Okay? Now, Men's Missionary Fellowship. There are several churches in the United States. One's in Friendship Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. They have a fellowship group, missionary fellowship group, called Men for Missions. They came several times over the years down to St. Thomas and helped at the Bible college. They painted. One time they had a group come and they changed the a motor in one of the vehicles. Different things were done. And it was a great encouragement to us there at the Bible college what these men did. These men also went to other places and did that very same thing. And you can read your booklet here, and this can be multiplied several times over because there are other churches in the United States that do the very same thing. And so this may be something that here in Southeast Asia you ought to start considering doing. And it can be a fellowship group that's developed in your local church. And even if there are other churches of like faith and practice that are, you know, that want to be involved in outreach and mission work, some of these groups will just put the word out, and you may have a couple men from another church that comes along with the team, and maybe a couple over here, and you really go and get something done that it would take the missionary maybe 6 months to get done with the manpower that he has on the field. And so this is a great, great thing that Men for Missions is doing. And I've called them, and they've come several times during my time there. Another thing, this type of ministry becomes an extension of the church's mission program without being detriment to it. In other words, it multiplies it. It doesn't hurt the missions program. It enhances the missions program. And so this is something, and it's usually directed by a lay person with the pastor's indirect guidance and advice. And it will be have regular meetings to communicate mission needs and plan ways to meet those needs. So these are some things that are happening in recent days. Okay? Then, ladies' missionary fellowships. We've had the same thing happen. I remember we had a dormitory for the men, and we had a dormitory for the ladies. You went in the ladies' dormitory, everything looked nice and neat and clean, and you know. And I would have dorm inspections, and I had a pair of white gloves I'd put on, okay? And I really hammed it up. I mean, you know, if I find any dust, got a mark against you, and I would pit the ladies against the men. Well, usually there was, hands down, I could go in blind, and I knew that the ladies' dorm was going to be better, you know, better shape than the men's dorm. But sometimes those fellas would really get busy, and I mean do some scrubbing and cleaning so then I kind of put a little fear in the hearts of the young ladies. You know, I just went in the men's dorm and it looked really good. Well, could you wait a few minutes before you go down? You know. But what I was getting to is, we had a ladies' missionary fellowship that wrote and said, is there anything that we could do to help with the ministry there? I said, Francis and I talked about it, and we decided we could use some new curtains to put up on the windows. I mean, after time, I mean, you know, things fade out, and sometimes they disappear, and somebody takes it down to clean a window, it doesn't get back up, it doesn't, you know, and you know what happens, especially in the men's dorm. Anyway, these ladies sent a couple boxes of curtains down. Man, for a good time, a long time, we had curtains on all the windows in the dorms. Oh man, it looked so good. Fellas weren't too excited about it. I mean, you know, it didn't make any difference to them, but the ladies thought it was great. But the ladies can do some things to help. And then young people fellowship. Most churches have youth meetings today. Young people need fellowship during their teen years. However, youth meetings need more than fellowship in their purpose. Included in the purpose could be instruction on Christian life, Bible memory, character building, physical hygiene, deportment, and Christian service, and discussions on topics that touch these things in the lives of the people. Some churches stress teaching their youth to witness for Christ. We had a youth group come from, what was the name of the church, Francis? And North Carolina. I can't think of the name of the church right now. Youth pastor came down, brought this group of young people down, and they had got them ready to do some things with puppets and give the gospel and everything. I mean, they were really ready. They were really ready. Well, one of the deacons at Calvary Baptist Church and I, we decided we were going to have some children meetings in a couple of the neighborhoods. And we tried that for a day or two, and things just weren't working out. And Roy and I were really perplexed. How are we going to make this a good experience for the young people and do it right? And I was in town, and I passed an area where they had a play field, you know, where you play ball or, you know, different things. Sport activities. And I saw some young people there, and I saw some people that were in charge of the young people, and I said, you know, I'm going to just drop in there and talk to them. So I did. I pulled in, parked my car, walked in, and I said, who's in charge of the activities here? And they brought me to a fella, and I said, hey, listen, I've got some young people that have come down from the U.S., and they would like to interact with some of the young people here in St. Thomas. And I was wondering, would it be possible for something like that to work out? The fellow said, well, you know, I'm one of several places here in the island where we have these activities to keep the children, young people and the children, off of the streets and give them, you know, something to do and all. And we're just in the last week of these activities. And he said, to be honest with you, we would be tickled to death to get somebody to come in and help us with that. So I called Roy and I said, Roy, I want you to call this fella and see what you can set up. Roy was a local fella, and he knew how to talk to him right. And so anyway, the next day we broke up the young people in groups and sent them out to these activity centers that were government-run. And they did their puppets, and they preached the gospel, and young people professed faith in Jesus Christ. And the young people in the youth group come back, and they were crying and excited. And I mean to tell you, it was a great week. It ended up being a great week. And we had some contacts to go check on some of these young people in some of the churches. And when they went home, they got home, and they had flown from Florida, from Miami, Florida. And when they got back, they went back in a bus, and they got up there. And when they went to church, Northside Baptist Church Charlotte, North Carolina. And they went on a Wednesday night. And the pastor had asked the youth director to give a report. He said, okay, I'm going to have some of the young people come up and give a testimony of their time there. They got up there and they were crying, and the parents were crying, and everybody was upset in the church. And then at the end of the service, the youth pastor said, I'm rendering my resignation. I'm going to go into mission work. I mean, all at one night, boom! And nobody knew it was coming. Well, just happened, one of the missionaries I worked with in the early years, he happened to be there that night. And I get this call late at night. He said, Brother Blue, he said, I'm calling you. I just left a service at Northside Baptist Church. Now, this is a big church. This was a big church. They had a couple thousand people coming to that church. And everybody really was really excited about what was going on because the young people got on fire. And he said, "What happened to that group down there?" And I just explained to him what happened and how Roy and I just kind of fell into this situation, and we just put the young people out there where the young people in the community were, and they preached the gospel, and people got saved. And he said, "You know what happened? The youth pastor even resigned." And he did. And he's been a missionary for years with BIMI. He's been a missionary. And he goes to Islamic countries now and preaches the gospel. It's what he's doing. But he got the spark that day, that week in the Virgin Islands with a group of his young people. That's where it all started. Now, so getting people involved, you see. Here was a lad that was involved in John chapter 6, verse 9. And can you imagine being that boy? He gave him his lunch, and he got fed to the full, and everybody there got fed to the full. And he got to experience that. He got to be in on that. Wasn't that great? Well, this is, you know, we need to do more than just have a youth meeting. Do more than just, you know, meet. You know, fellowship is good. I like fellowship. But I'll guarantee you, I like worship too. And when we're serving the Lord, it's worship. Okay? You understand me? Okay. Now, mission agency involvement of church members. Because of what was happening in some of the churches at home, our mission started a Christian layman helping missionaries ministry. They call it CLAIM. Christian Layman Assisting International Missionaries. It's a ministry of BIMI under the direction of Carl Vaughn. And they send Christian men out of these local churches around the world to help in ministries in various and sundry ways. Okay? And, you know, It's a thing that has happened, and it's great. It's great. So many pastors would rather contact a mission agency with which they support missionaries and participate in a mission trip that is organized by the mission agency. And sometimes they do that, depending on what they're trying to achieve when they go to that field. And we like it when they come and distribute literature. We like it when they come and have evangelistic services. We like it when they come and help with camp ministry and VBS. And we like it when they come and help with maintenance and even building projects. You see, I'm a missionary, okay? I'm a missionary. I like help anytime I can get it. Okay? I like help anytime I can get it. And so what I'm trying to say is these are some things that are happening in recent days. Here's a letter from Dr. Shumpert that he wrote to the CLAIM. He says here, "Dear Pastor, I encourage you to prayerfully consider starting a men's missionary ministry fellowship in your church." And he's trying to encourage the local churches to get the men excited about doing something, you know, and their vision get beyond just myself, you know, and my church. And so this is something that's been done. Here's another thing that's been done by a lot of churches and young people in the United States. Summer Student Missionary Program. There's several programs where Christian young people that want to, you know, give you know, a few weeks or a couple months of their time and energy, and they'll even raise the funds to pay for their trip. Okay? And they go and they help. And many are Christian college students who take a summer and and they go on these trips and go do different things. Several Bible schools and Christian colleges participate with mission boards, encourage students to get involved in the mission trip at least one summer, you see. We have a friend that's over here in Thailand. Her name is Grace. And Grace, when she was in school, she went to, what's the name? You remember, Francis, what the name of this, up in New York? I can't think of the name. It's a one-year Bible, intense Bible study school ministry. And you can go 2 years. Well, she did the 1 year, and then she did a trip and came to Taiwan. And she went back. Then she raised money, became a missionary, and she's back in Taiwan. Been ministering there for 2-3 years. What got her started? What got her started was the fact that she got involved in a program and realized, this is something I can do. Okay? Listen, if I can do it, you can do it. I'm no Superman. I'm just human. You know, I've got blood in my veins just like you have. I have to ask the Lord to help me figure out things just like you do. So, if I can do it, you can do it. I'm serious. You can do it. Okay? So, here we're talking about these different things here. Our mission has Camp Bimmy. They call it Camp Bimmy. And Brother Boffman is in charge of that. And what they do, they take young people out and they have the Camp Basic International Missionary Institute. They teach a few classes and try to see if the Lord's working in their heart, and then they have an opportunity. They can go to a field and see what a missionary does and see what's involved in it. And we're getting more missionaries through the Camp Bimmy ministry than we are just straight out of churches and out of Bible colleges today. Okay? That's how we're getting new missionaries today. And these are some new things. And some of this is being done by other mission agencies as well. And then short-term assisting missionaries. We're getting to the age now because I could go to bed one night and die up and die and go to glory, you know. So we're doing assisting now, okay, short-term. And I'm here assisting you for a little bit. But this is all talking about this matter, you see. And it's important that people actively get plugged in, okay? And you can plug in the local church, but you can also plug in other places too. And you might talk to a missionary. And maybe the missionary just says, you know, I wish I had somebody could come over here and just figure out this problem I'm having. Well, maybe you're just the person that could go over there for 3 or 4 days and you could figure it out. And you could fix it. And you'd be surprised how much that helps in mission work. So, and then the tent maker missionaries. We have missionaries today that don't go into places as missionaries. They go in maybe as a teacher. But on the side, they evangelize and try to help disciple Christians and start churches and such. And they call them tent maker missionaries. They're taking after what Paul did. Okay? Because Paul made tents, put food on his table. And there's nothing wrong in being bivocational. Not a thing wrong with it. Now, ladies can multitask every day. So fellas, we need to wake up. There's some of us that could multitask if we just would. Right? There's some of us that could if we just would. But it takes a little concentration, that's all. And you might be surprised what you could do and how you could be a great blessing in the ministry of the Lord. Tent maker missionaries. And this type of mission service is no substitute for the resident missionary, but it can be a great asset and a great help. And it may be in a country where they don't hardly have any missionaries. At least you have a Christian voice that's being heard in that place. Some of the advantages for the tent maker missionary: access to countries close to the professional missionary. The non-professional missionary is free from the stigma of proselyting. There is a better financial income because you're there and they're paying you to teach English or whatever you're there to do. And yet on the side, you're witnessing for Christ, you see. And there's a better chance of reaching the elite. Because if you go in as a professional, you're going to run in circles that are different than what sometimes missionaries run in, you know, normally. And so this is a great thing. Some disadvantages to tent maker mission there is a lack of Christian fellowship. Because you may be, you and your family, that's it a lot of times. So it's hard, you know, Christian fellowship's not the best, easiest. There are restrictions placed on expatriates of the host country sometimes, limitations of time and national contact, and then the language barrier makes witnessing difficult. Some Christians don't want to go through the theological training, make application to a mission agency, and do 2 to 3 years of deputation, and they live on a lower income to be a foreign missionary. So, if you've got a skill that people need in a foreign country, go down there. That's okay. Go in the foreign country. But while you're there, be a Christian. Do what a Christian ought to do. Evangelize. You understand me? There's a lot of good there. And then there's other developments that have taken place in the 20th century. The national geographical boundaries in the world have changed considerably this century. The way people in the world are governed has changed. The makeup of the missionary forces has changed, as well as the numbers who need to hear the gospel. That keeps going up. That is definitely the case. There's change in government, you see. And foreign missionary serves more now as a servant to the Lord and the national church. Christianity as a whole has taken on a new image in the third world countries because colonialism is no longer active. Things have changed rapidly in the last few years. And so this is the case. And the breakup of the Soviet Union, which took place not too many years ago, a change in missionary personnel. Some of the factors are the growth of the national church, the increase in nationalism, lower enrollment in the liberal theological schools, smaller contributions to the mainline denominations. Theological liberalism takes away from the need for missions. Even though the mainline denominations seem to have retreated, the conservative evangelicals are doing well and seem to be on the increase. And thank the Lord for those in what is called third world countries, and it's not third world. I mean, many of these countries are very modern and everything, like Singapore. But thank the Lord for the Christians that have been raised up in many of these countries, and now they're sending missionaries out, like the Philippines and South Korea and Brazil and other countries. Even in the West Indies, we have some that go to other countries and serve. And there's been a change in what's going on. Hey, we need all the help we can get.
That's right.
Not going to get it done unless we have everybody really getting involved in it. And so there's change in missionary methods. We'll get, you know, later down in the course, we'll get to the last chapter where it talks about the technology in missions. Technology, modern technology has changed rapidly. I mean, some of the planes I've flown in the past, some of you wouldn't even want to get in it. I'm serious. Single engine, one propeller, What happens if the one propeller stops? I'll tell you what happens. You go down. Yeah, you go down. I have flown thousands of miles in a single engine plane. Thousands of miles. And prayed before I left, and prayed while I was going, and prayed when I got back, and said, "Thank you, Lord, for getting me back." A lot of changes. Technology. The smartphone. Man, it's so smart, I don't even know how to use it. But you can do amazing things with a smartphone. We help a deaf church at home when we're home. And the pastor goes on the smartphone, gets an app where he can set his phone up and photograph himself. And then he signs his message. Everybody that's deaf, he links it to them, and then they get the message. And yeah, hey, boy, we can do things today that you never could do 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Listen, we better get smart. We need to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. But we need to use the technology that's out there that we can use and get the job done. This whole new spectrum in the field of communication. Whole new spectrum. It's great change. But there is one unchanging mandate. Now here's something that we'd have to get our mind around right here. And that is, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Hey, listen. We're still responsible for that.
Yes, sir.
And the responsibility is greater than it was last year. And it'll be greater next year if Jesus tarries. There's so much we got to do. But recent developments, and that's, I haven't even scratched the surface. I don't have time. The clock is pushing me right now. But I guarantee you, there's things that you as an individual Christian can do to enhance mission work. One is to pray, give, and when you can, go and get involved in the local ministry of your church as well. We need to reach the people while we can. If Jesus comes tonight, some of us will be saddened in one sense, not because He came, but because of those that will be left behind. We need to reach those that are lost. We need to spread the gospel. We need to get the message out. And it's all of our responsibilities. Okay? Are you doing your job? Are you really doing your job? It's important. It has to be done. And hopefully it'll be done before Jesus comes.